To understand what I'm about to tell you, you need to do something. You need to believe the impossible. Can you do that? Good. Because it's Netheads number 373, Nerdvana. Just getting to the good part and I cut out. Hey, everybody, welcome. Another edition of Netheads. My name is Will.
And I'm Tony.
Oh, wait. It helps if I unmute you. Go ahead, Tony.
And I'm Tony.
Thank you very much for joining us if you have tonight. Really appreciate it. If you listen to it afterwards, we appreciate you as well. Guys, I have never been more excited for a show than I am tonight. And you can tell I must be excited because I'm doing something weird like wearing a hat, which I never do. I mean, Tony is... Well, actually, you got an awesome mohawk when you don't have a hat on.
So yeah, it's cool. Just I've been walking through Chicago, and so the hairs were a little bit out of way, so the hat goes on.
Good call, good call. And I'm wearing mine because it's the Multiverse Saga, which we'll get to a little bit later. But for now, part of the reason why I'm excited about today is because, and I kid you not, I could show you, I should have taken a picture of it. I have on my calendar today... On this day, April 25th, 2024, I have this. Flash missing, and the location is Vanishes in Crisis. Because for those of us that were a fan of the Flash on the CW, you know that this was the date originally, before Flashpoint screwed with things. This was the date where the Flash went missing. And this is what that Barry and Cisco and Caitlin saw in the time vault, right? So this is a date we've all, as fans of the show, been looking forward to. And I kid you not, because if you think about it, I think at the point where the time vault reveal happened, it happened right before the Christmas break, maybe, or shortly after. So late 2014, early 2015. This date... for a program seemed so far away, Tony. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it would be ages away, yet here we are. Thankfully, I haven't seen any crisis happening. No infinite Earths dying or colliding. So I think we're safe, though.
Possibly. You know, I feel like this date for like comic book nerds or even like the TV show nerds is kind of similar to, I think, what a lot of Disney Channel adults had. I think it was like Zach and Cody. They had the reservation, I think, for the future, and it just recently passed. Right.
Yeah. A mutual friend, Donovan Rose, as well, was really kind of blowing that one up on TikTok and social media, where there's a specific date that Zach and Cody had made a reservation for a restaurant, and that date also recently passed last year, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Or was it earlier this year?
Well, I think it was earlier this year, actually.
Yeah, it all blends together.
I think it was like February. It was like a Valentine's Day or something.
I mean, that is the day you get a restaurant reservation, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, happy Flash Missing Vanishes in Crisis Day. I have been talking about this all over the place, all over the face. And actually, that kind of leads me into, Tony, the 3D print of the week. Because in honor of Flash Day, as I'm calling it now, actually, no, that's a bad name because it sounds more like something people did badly in a park somewhere. Let's not get into
typically
that.
In like Chicago, we could imagine that would happen in where I'm at now.
There you go. And yeah. So we'll say Flash Missing Day. In honor of that, I had a miracle, guys. When I said you got to believe in the impossible, it happened. It happened for me today because not only did I 3D print this Flash symbol, which is
very nice.
Thank you. And I will adorn behind my wall. Not only do I have this, but in quite the miraculous fashion, this print also ended the spool of filament. So the spool is empty and it finished completely with this print.
That is meant to be.
That's the kind of, that doesn't happen in life, man.
No, it doesn't. You might be able to get one last print in and have like some despair, but you'd never just finish the print exactly on whatever's left.
No, you don't. That's not the way things work in this world, Tony. But fortunately, that did happen. Now, Tony, were you a fan of The Flash on the CW?
Actually, I wasn't. And it wasn't just, preface, I was a huge fan of Smallville. I loved Smallville. Green Arrow, I was interested in a while, but I got tired of it. And so when The Flash came out, my wife was into it. I wasn't necessarily.
Well, that is a damn shame, because I will tell you, as a person, I never messed with Green Arrow, Arrow on the CW. I too was a big Smallville fan. We've already gone into that.
Yeah.
You know, and my reckless youth sleeping somewhere. But with the CW Flash, that show really, really hit me in that first season, because every episode was structured just like a comic book, because it had the main story. It took mm-hmm. us all the way through to the end. And then just like when you would flip to the last page, it would tease something else in the story, but that would be, you know, come to fruition later as the last panel. You know what I'm talking yep. about, the last yeah. panel. Now, what's your interpretation of the last panel when I say that?
Oh, I always feel like it's the hook for the next issue. Like, it's always whatever it is going to be that last hook.
I mean, if memory serves, that's the way we first got some hints of Venom in the Spider-Man comics, or...
Yeah, well, for Venom, it was this lurking character in the background for a while. Mm-hmm. And they were playing about whether it was going to be a female villain or a male villain. Of course, we ended up with the Eddie Brock version. But it kind of... It was teased throughout a number of issues until they did the reveal with Venom.
Yeah, and so every episode felt like a comic book to me, and then the other important thing that they did very well in the beginning that got too schmaltzy near the end, because I will freely admit, I believe after the fourth season, I think it was after like the third or fourth season, after the Savitar season, I believe that's where I didn't fall off, but I did a lot of what I would call expedited viewing. Because early on in the show, one of the important things for each one of the stories is that there was a moment where the story had heart. You know, it had good, wholesome, grounded human emotion, mm-hmm. A good something for us to connect with as normies watching this metahuman and all the metahumans he's battling. And much like Smallville, you know, in the early on, it was very much like that, you know, in the Green Rocks and instead metahumans. Dark Matter.
It was almost, but Smallville was very much like the Scooby-Doo of like superhero television, if you really think about it. It was very episodic at first. It wasn't until I think season 2's finale where they really teased like more going into the Kryptonian heritage and stuff like that. Like at first I felt like Smallville never was going to get to like the real mythos other than let's introduce a different character and show off his powers. I will say with Flash, I watched a little bit of it. Like I remember like how I was excited when I heard that Gorilla Grodd was there, that they did other versions of the Flash. Like they had the Golden Age Flash. Mm-hmm. And there was stuff like that where they did crossovers, which I thought worked really well, and it worked better for Flash and Supergirl than I feel like it did with Flash and Arrow, even though they were more in line when it came to how long they were aired. And if you've not watched the show, you've probably seen some of it on TikTok, because it does make its rounds every once in a while, especially like the Infinite Crisis stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely blew up today. I enjoyed watching quite a few videos that were Flash missing. So a lot of other people were also in tune. I have no idea why I added that to my calendar, but
I'm just going to say this. That whole panel was a missed opportunity. They should have said something like Gone in a Flash.
You know what? Hold on a second. I think you might be on to something, because if you read the article and seeing where the characters are giving us exposition on mm-hmm. what's in the article, he did disappear in a burst of light, mm-hmm. which at that point, you got to remember, he wasn't called the Flash. So, you know, I understand why thematically they decided to have him say disappeared in a burst of light instead of in a flash.
Well, I'll be honest with you, like looking at that headline, because I mean, I wasn't even aware of it until you even brought it up. I'm sitting there looking at it. Flash vanishes, gone. What was it? What did it say? Flash missing, vanishes in crisis. I could tell you a lot of people who would fit the bill for that. That vanishing crisis, like, like I know they're talking about the event, but I'm just telling you right now, like, oh, you're the Flash because you weren't there when I needed you.
Yeah, and actually, that is one of the things that I think bonded Tony and I early on, because he had a crisis, and I did not vanish in that time. So, yeah, and that's all I'll kind of say about that. You guys can try and extrapolate whatever you want from that there. But I do have lots of fond memories of the Flash, and I can honestly say that, you know, the first three seasons were really strong. And if you watch nothing else, I'd recommend, if you didn't watch the show, to definitely at least watch those, because it kind of brings most good stories together. I think the fourth season, they had the Thinker or the whatever his name was. And then the fifth season, it was Cicada of all kinds of weird names. And, you know, it's just I watched the entire series through, but there were a lot of times, man, I was using that 60-second jump to just kind of get past the schmaltz. Just get me to that last 15 minutes. I'll watch the first 15, the last 15, and I'm done, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Miranda Janelle in the chat saying, just remember, somewhere in the multiverse, you are the Flash. Well, you know, I've got this, so that's close enough, right? Actually, for the longest time in Fortnite, one of my favorite back blings was, because I did buy it, but was this. So, you know, my character was always running around with the Flash symbol on.
So I would dare ask this question, Will. I don't think you've ever been put in a position to state this. Is the Flash your favorite superhero? Like, or is there somebody that you have more endeared to? Spider-Man?
That guy. And you know, the story there is because as a child, I was first introduced to the concept of Spider-Man from the re-airing of the 66 show in syndication. Oh, yeah. And even younger, he was a character that showed up on a children's educational program called The Electric Company. So I was always endeared to him. And the other one was always Batman, because 66 Batman. I just said 66. Well, but yeah, 66 Batman as well. So, you know, I always really liked those characters. And I think when Tim Burton made his particular brand of Batman, I kind of liked more of that brooding Batman as well. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But those are my primaries. You know, I will kid you not. Trent, the other co-host of Netheads, which, again, just want to remind everybody, Tony is kind enough to fill in as often as he does. Usually we're doing fandoms on Friday, but Tony is at C2E2. That's why you don't see him in his usual room.
Nope, I'm in a hotel in Chicago looking at the skyline. I actually can see the Starbucks Reserve Roastery or whatever it's, well, whatever building. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, the whole point being, we're not doing fandoms tomorrow. It doesn't sound like, even though I was going to tell Tony, you know, I could just do it solo if you want. Why not? Just
Go ahead. You're done. I'll go ahead and let Rick.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine, man. Just set it up. I'll connect. Yeah. And we'll just throw whatever goes. Things will have finally come full circle and people will think I've taken over. But anyway, Tony, you know, typically now, because Trent has a life as well, we just alternate in. But Tony's been filling in because Trent has also been teaching two courses at the college he's at. So that's the reason why he's not around. So thanks for allowing me to reiterate that. But
no, and honestly, like, I'll just say this. I love looking, let me rephrase that. I love watching the show and watching you two interact. And so I even said this early on, like, I wanted to make sure Will, you know, had reiterated to Trent that I like being the understudy. I like filling in the place. But I always want to make sure that, you know, he never thinks that I, you know, I intentionally want to be on here more than him. Like, I'm available. I'm easy. And I'm typecasting. I wear the beard and I could put on the glasses, but, you know, I don't want to. And
you know what we should do is we should get you a pair of non altering glasses that are exactly like Trent's.
Just so people can
get confused and wonder, like, why does he keep fluctuating? You know what I mean?
Listen, I have a box full of the old Real D 3D glasses. I'll just pop the lenses out and wear that next time.
The only thing you have to do, though, is you have to pick one of your hats to kind of turn the brim up a little bit. Because I think his hats are a little more like that style. I'm not showing anyone anything. That's
there you go. Bad. That'll work for if I hold my eyebrows up, I can do it. Otherwise,
Oh, also, I just want to remind everyone who happens to listen to this and is also one of the Patreon subscribers, even though it hasn't been posted yet, tomorrow is the Fourth Friday. So we have Fourth Friday fun days over on my Patreon. And so it's a club exclusive or a Patreon exclusive show just for y'all. Sit down, have a chat. I really haven't scheduled the time for it, and I didn't really get feedback on when people would like to see it. So sometime tomorrow, watch for the post. And if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go to patreon.com/netheadsonair, and you can find out more. Now, Tony, before we get into anything else, I got to show you something. I hope you don't mind me taking a moment to do this. In case you haven't noticed, guys, I'm shot out of a cannon, right? I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm shot out of a cannon. I'm not kidding you. It is because of Magic Mind, right? It is because of Magic Mind. Magic Mind has done so much for me. And the reason why I said I got to show this to you, Tony, this is a collection of 15 bottles, right? Every one of these is empty. You know why?
You've been drinking them.
Yes, I have. And I will say that, I've been through some stuff lately. I even had a concussion last month. And I know I came back from a concussion. But the matcha that's in here, the nootropics that are in here, the adaptogens that are present in here, the lion's mane mushroom, the cordyceps, all of those things have helped, in my opinion, improve my cognitive abilities, my recognition. And most importantly, I, in addition to my cup of coffee, I'm getting the energy and the focus I need without the jitters. And the reason why I'm telling y'all about this is because it is something that I firmly believe in. And, you know, we do have them supporting us as well during the program. So make sure to look at the link right there in the description, because I usually get it wrong. So I'm not going to bring it up right now. It's magicmind.co, and you can use the code. What is the code? You have the YouTube up usually, don't you, Tony?
Not this time.
Well, son of a bitch.
Isn't it Netheads?
It's either Netheads or it's Netheads 20. That's the problem.
I think it's Netheads 20.
See?
Yeah.
And the great thing about Netheads 20 is you can use that to get 56% off of your subscription or 20% off your first purchase. And you know, I'm not kidding. When you hear about things out there, a lot of the things you're hearing about the nootropics and the adaptogens, these things are all elements that help benefit you. Geek Render saying, Trent, that you. No, that's Tony. And you know, I gotta get them to send you some of the stuff, Tony, because I am telling you, the things that it has done to help improve my day, I've been getting complimented on my work now at work. Mm-hmm. Not that I wasn't before, but now I'm really getting noticed as making notable improvements. I'm feeling better during the day. I'm feeling better closer to the night as well. Like one of the things that usually happens to me is I usually have a drop off in the afternoon to the evening where mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, you know what? I'm worn the hell out. That's not happening anymore. And I think it's through all of the wonderful benefits of Magic Mind. So if you want to take the opportunity to it's great. I got to tell you, it's good cold. If you want to take it by itself instead of enhancing with your coffee. But one of my favorite things now is to have my sip of coffee and then take my Magic Mind shot. And when I do that, the sweetness of that enhances right with the coffee. And it's like this bold burst of wonderful flavor. It's a wonderful burst in my mouth, Tony. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I the last month I have noticed you have been more motivated and more there's a thing and Netheads, I'm sorry if you don't, you know, this may be oversharing. Like Will and I will go back and forth talking about what we're doing, like what we're, you know, wanting to get motivated to do. And for the few months before he started taking this, it was always like, I just don't feel motivated to make stuff. What, you know, why am I even, you know, making content, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we would have Netheads and I'd be asked on every once in a while, you are hitting a real big stride, making more episodes, you're thinking, you know, I've never seen you this excited for any of the shows, either this or fandoms like this for a while. So there's definitely a difference, I would say.
Yeah. So it's definitely something, you know, look, guys, I'll be honest with you. If I started drinking this stuff and I didn't like it, I'd have bowed out, you know, because what are they going to do? Come take the shots back out of me? No, they're not. But you can put the shots into you. And you can do that by going to magicmind.co/netheads20, or you can use the code netheads20 to get 56% off of a subscription or to get 20% off a single purchase. And if you think I'm not willing to put my money where my mouth is, this is an empty box. This is a full box. Bring it. So guys, I'm telling you right now, Magic Mind, get it right there. Get it. Get some. All right. We've said enough about that. We've said enough about the Flash, I think. Tony, 425. Do you know why this date is important outside of it being Flash Vanishes Day?
This is also the theatrical release 5 years ago for Avengers Endgame.
Tony, where were you 5 years ago at this very moment?
At this very moment,
he's got to do math. He's in a different time zone.
I was in an Air and Space Museum watching Avengers Endgame.
That is beautiful. I too, at this time, yes, I was still fully engrossed. I think I had a 5-something or other showing to go to. I will say, though, one of the things that motivates me to go see movies is for the communal experience, and Avengers Endgame definitely had that communal experience.
Absolutely. It was crazy.
There were so many lines in that film I didn't hear because of crowd reactions.
Yeah. You know, it's funny though, because the only experience that I've had that was similar to that since then was Spider-Man No Way Home.
Exactly. That too. Again, that synergy, and let me tell you something. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. And that's what the kind of thing nerds love. And you know, I want that motivation again to go to the movies like as soon as possible on drop day to make sure nobody spoils a goddamn thing for me. And Avengers Endgame had all that. Now, I will admit the first time I saw the movie, I wasn't impressed with it until the third act. And that is only because I went to the fan event to get the purple Avengers Endgame official coin.
Yeah.
And when I did that, what I ended up getting instead was disappointment because it was not one of the really good screens, if you know what I mean. It was a screen that the image was slightly blurry. The sound in the theater wasn't very good. It's the reason why I won't go see any movies in my multiplex now unless it's in the Dolby Cinema. Because even their, what's the other thing? See it in IMAX, even their IMAX screen isn't all that hot. Okay.
Yeah. So
that partially ruined the experience for me, but let me tell you something too. Although I was at the movie, this was me right before the movie. I came out of the bathroom, asked my daughter if she was ready to go. And, I don't know how old she's going to be. 21.
I'm pretty sure she said no.
20. My 15-year-old daughter said no, absolutely not. No. So the only reason why this picture was good is because I was able to send it to Kevin Smith and I said, time to go to church. And he said, watch out for the third act. It's a doozy. And boy, was it.
Wait. Kevin Feige replied to you?
No. Kevin Smith.
Oh, I thought you said Kevin Feige.
No, you got the wrong Kevin on the brain, man. You got the wrong Kevin.
Either
on the
one, brain. They're geniuses. What are you talking about?
And by the way, I know, you know, I did all this in a crunch. I did this on a lark. The Saturday before the movie came out, I started making the shield because my friend Odin of Odin Makes had shown how you can take the 20-inch by 20-inch foam pads that you can get at Harbor Freight and turn them into a Captain America shield. So I'm like, you know what? Bet. Let's do it. And then I thought, oh, you know what? I can go all out. So I got tactical pants. I got some tactical gloves. I even got the stupid harness thing there. And the last thing to arrive was actually the shirt. That's just like an athletic weave shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But it was It I think the best thing about it was my daughter's reaction when I came out. I mean, honestly speaking, I know she wasn't going to let me go. But I will say that after I put on some regular jeans, I was allowed. Yeah, I did say that. I was allowed to bring the shield and keep the shirt on.
That works. Yeah. I can just imagine your daughter. No, young man, you get right back in that room and you put on some more clothes.
No, she was just like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going now. No, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to lose that one. And, you know, I did, but that's okay. I still had a great time. And I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, too. It's not very often that I am motivated to blurt out something in a movie. But the moment that Mjolnir was revealed to be in Cap's hand and he's swinging it and going at Thanos, that's the only moment I was both compelled, but I stifled it, to yell out, and it would have been the only time I ever would have cursed out loud in a movie theater too, because I just wanted to yell, fuck him up, Cap. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, there were so many satisfying things. I remember Endgame was so important for me for that crowd reaction, because just the year before, we had an Infinity War, and the crowd reaction was so emotional. I mean, you had people weeping coming out of the movies, and they're just like, no, no. And of course, I remember my cousin was with me, and his daughter called him as she was leaving the theater, and she was weeping, and he had to talk her down from being emotional.
There are so many teenage girls that were traumatized at the sight of Tom Holland being dusted away. Never mind the fact that before we even went into Infinity War, we knew that Far From Home was in production.
Right, you know? Right. And listen, and there was a lot of like, you know, pining boys who hated Tom Holland for taking the girls' attentions, who probably were extremely happy for it. But it was emotional. It was one of those things where Endgame not only had to do something to bring some similitude of normalcy to the MCU, but it also had to meet crowd expectations. And there was a big bill to fit, and it was a movie that did it really well. And I think the way they even introduced it, the reason why Endgame was on April 25th of 2019 was because Robert Downey, and again, this is the masterful marketing of the MCU at that time, or Marvel Studios. Robert Downey Jr. reached out to Marvel Studios and was basically like, hey, any way we can screen Avengers Endgame early. And it's like, you know, anything for you. And he's like, hey, can I do a couple friends? And they're like, sure. How many are we talking about? And he's like, the whole world. And they said, yes, Mr. Stark. And that was the exchange on social media between Marvel Studios and Robert Downey Jr. at the time. And I just remember how there was just something really cool about all of that that was going on.
You know what, though, Tony? I don't mean to be a pessimist, but it sounds like it sounds like kayfabe. You know what I'm saying?
It can be kayfabe as long as it's good kayfabe. I mean, let's face it.
They're real to me, okay?
Listen, it's not about whether it's real or not. It's the marketing of it. Like, did you ever enjoy professional wrestling? Because if you did, you know how you can suspend belief to just be in the moment and enjoy something.
I've always enjoyed other people watching their favorite moments in wrestling, but I never got into it. That's not to say I didn't appreciate it and I wasn't aware of it, but it wasn't my particular jam. But I think if I had given it more of a chance, it probably would have been.
Yeah. And then certain storylines, you have to kind of like jump in. Like for me, professional wrestling, I was right in like 1996. I just lost my uncle. My cousins were really into it, but there was the whole Hulk Hogan going rogue as a bad guy in WCW. That really was what pulled me into wrestling. Mm-hmm. And like, I liked the bad guys at that point. I was a fan of the heels. And so that lasted for at least 5 years for me. And then I went off and did other things. And
speaking of liking the bad guys, how did you feel watching Infinity War and suddenly realizing, holy crap, this was Thanos' story?
Well, it was because Infinity War was for the comic book nerd. It was their Empire Strikes Back. That's it, absolutely what it was. And for that, I really appreciated it. And it was funny because everyone kept talking about, you know, in the Infinity Gauntlet, storyline, But this was very much Thanos' quest. And as soon as I realized that, I'm like, oh, this isn't ending well. It's way too much his story. Like,
well, and it's not like they didn't put it on Front Street with Loki getting his neck snapped in the first 7 minutes. You know, they were trying to project to us this was not going to end the way that you think. So getting back to Endgame itself, though, because I can, okay. I Infinity War 2 is, both movies are incredibly rewatchable. I will admit, I think Infinity War is more rewatchable because it has so many great moments. And I always like to annoyingly remind my wife this every time we're watching an Avengers movie, but there always has to be a moment in an Avengers movie where Avengers fight Avengers, and they always have it, even if it was just Cap fighting Cap. You know, but they got it. So Endgame, I will admit that was a movie that unfortunately did potentially suffer from toilers, because there was a Lego set that did feature the Nano Gauntlet. And I did my best to stay away from spoilers. I will tell you, though, there was one prick on Facebook. We were doing a broadcast on of Endgame Eve, specifically so it would be Endgame Eve, and this schmuck either got spoilers off the internet or was in a part of the world that had already premiered, and they posted about three key points that Black Widow, they put it, commit suicide and other stuff. And after they came out, turned out to be true, I was really disappointed about that commenter, and I blocked them everywhere I possibly could. But still, going into the movie, I still had not enough of an idea to really enjoy it. And I think that the thing that I loved about Endgame, not just that it was a time travel story in many respects, because those are some of my favorite style of movies. The concept of time loops breaks my brain, and I love thinking about them. Obviously, I'm a fan of time travel movies. Got a damn flux capacitor behind me, right? Why am I still up on the screen? Get rid of that jamoke. But when it comes to Endgame, it also did something that I appreciate, and that's that it did not, it delivered a story that I could not predict. Mm-hmm. I did not even conceptualize or imagine they would do such a thing. Even though one of the earliest spoilers about Endgame was them running around destroyed New York, even not really New York, but and you could see, I think on Cap or on Tony's hand, you could see one of the time travel devices. But Endgame, I feel in many ways, is still equally watchable because it has so many charming moments after they once again had to remind us that our heroes lose at this point in the story. The 5-year time jump, I think, was great. And it really kind of presented a world that, man, I can't even imagine the disarray that would happen. 50% of the population is gone. And so that means governments have to figure out how to restore government. I'm sure every single business has all these people to replace and things potentially not functional. The imagery we were greeted with, this great, I mean, it should be a flourishing world because it has now got so many resources and so few people, actually so few living things. I think that was the literal reduction that he did. Cause you even,
yeah. Cause even at the, once they did the snap with the Hulk, you had Scott listening to birds again, like it was obvious they added more to it. And you know, with the what was it for the, maybe it was Infinity War, the end audio, at one point they cut the even the orchestra number.
Oh down. Yeah. So the opening of Endgame had half of the orchestra. Yep. It had half of the imagery. It only had, you know, obviously the surviving Avengers. And the thing that I also loved in that story is, of course, that our original core five were the ones that were at the, you know, were the ones that made the cut, if you will. But that story, they really did an amazing job. I just wish some of their creative beats had been able to, the writers had been able to come to fruition. Cause at one point, they had written the fact that one of the things that happens after or in the final act is that 2014 Thanos basically comes through a portal and throws Captain America's head at them.
Essentially. Like he basically went back and killed the Avengers of that timeline and used it to intimidate them. I had so many different theories. This is pre, I mean, there was TikTok, but it was pre like Marvel talk. It was pre me even being on TikTok. I had theories written down in a notebook that I specifically have for my Marvel content. And I thought they were going to reforge Mjolnir, but of course then we got it from the past. Like there were all of these different things, and Endgame did create a lot more questions, but I think ultimately there was a lot of stuff with Endgame that they really delved into the deeper, like the deep cuts. I mean, even the whole, like they kept the name Endgame quiet for a while and everyone was like guessing, and I'm sitting there going, it's Endgame. And it's like, oh no, it could be something. And I'm like, no, it's literally Endgame. Like they use that phrase so many times. Age of Ultron, Tony goes to Cap, points to the sky and goes, that's the Endgame. And then what was it? Doctor Strange in Infinity War looks at him and says, we're in the Endgame now. Mm-hmm. If they didn't use that phrase, it would have been a missed opportunity. And that was what really did well for the first three phases. You know, it's not the diversity that's an issue. It's not all of the legacy characters kind of either retiring, dying, or whatever. It's the writing where they allowed these movies to have a little bit more connective tissue where they reference things. I mean, the fact that Thanos wiped out all of the heroes with the exception of the original five, that was to make them live with the failure that they experienced.
Well, I think though also the other reason why is because the writers, well, you know, that's one of the things that I think you even pointed out last week that Marvel has been missing, is that they have that consistent thematic writing, because Marcus and McFeely, I believe are their names. Is that right?
Marcus and McFeely. Yes.
They were the writers of Captain America. They were the writers of Civil War, or of not Civil War, but Winter Soldier, obviously Civil War, and then these movies. And that's why I think those films have so many callbacks in Endgame. But they, you know, they tied so many brilliant elements together and had so many callbacks. But they even told us in, and this is the way that they also incorporated elements from every other pieces of person's work. You can tell these are people that either had some love of comics and lore or really wanted to build their own and were thinking, because with Avengers, okay, Tony even says, what if we fail? And Cap says, we fail together. At least we're together.
We'll do that together too.
The reason why Infinity War ended the way it did, and it's why they didn't win, because everybody was spread out.
Yep.
So, God, I'm getting goosebumps. And I could, you know what? We can talk about a movie that's 5 years old all we want, but I think it's time to kind of progress to the next thing. Other than the fact that I have loved pointing out and annoying my friends with reminding everyone, hey, guys, we're like at the halfway mark of where the MCU was before Endgame.
Yeah.
And granted, a global pandemic really kind of screwed things up, but you know, we're kind of at that same place, and there was a certain level of greatness that I think we all had become accustomed to. And Tony, I believe this week we'll come back to, I want to play a game with you too, okay? You know what? Okay. Let's put a pin in that, because after this next segment, what I'm teasing and what would have been an amazing segue that I am just stomping all over is the fact that we got the most amazing Deadpool and Wolverine trailer this week as well. But I am wearing this Infinity Saga hat because it's the 5 year anniversary of Endgame. And that was 2019. It was the year before the pandemic. I had finagled my way. Wasn't even supposed to be there that day inside of Hall H for the Marvel presentation. I actually got the Black Widow hat that says Black Widow like 2020. So I don't know if that's a collector's item. But the other thing that we received, they did a very special montage to kind of lay out that it was the Infinity Saga, right? I'm wearing the Multiverse Saga hat now, but the Infinity Saga, that was the point where they reminded us, no, this was what this story was, and that's what it was called. And one of the things that they, I got to take this thing off. It's hurting my head. One of the other things we got right after that montage was a ticket to go back to the prize redemption room. And this week, Tony, in honor of Endgame and the fact that I should be preserving my stuff, I finally got the plastic covers for my 6 Infinity Saga stone cards.
Oh, that's okay? Cool.
Why are these cards important? Why are they in my hand? I will tell you why, Tony. Because on the back of each one of these cards, they tell you something about it. Like, let's say the Soul Stone, and it's, I'm wearing my readers too. Power unknown, status gone, reduced to atoms. Okay. So that's the information, mm-hmm. information it has. But on the back of each one of these cards, Tony, they also list which films the stone was actually in. And I say that as a caveat because you could really bust balls about Guardians of the Galaxy because you kind of see a representation of each stone.
Yeah. So if we don't count that, does it not count that?
No, it does not.
Okay. So that's a good rule to know.
Yeah. So because of that, Tony, I'm going to give you a quiz.
Oh,
I'm going to put you through all of the Infinity Stones. You have to name their movies.
It's now, like the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes, I am running you through. God almighty. Such a brilliant line. I'm going to hate you later for that. Okay, so what I've done, again, most I've prepared for a show in a long time. And you know what? I think the reason why I got all weepy about it is because this is very similar to the kind of stuff I would put together every single week for the Will Wilkins Show on Play TV. And that was in the late 90s, guys. So not to date myself, but that was last century. But anyway, Tony, the first one up is the Soul Stone, who I just mentioned. I mentioned its details. Now, I will tell you, as each card progresses, the number is either the same or greater than its predecessor, okay? And we're going to also start off with the Soul Stone because it's the easiest one. So, Tony, which movies, and this is the only time you'll have to say them because every other time, let's just say they're assumed.
And this is just for the Infinity Saga. This is not considering the Multiverse Saga.
Correct. This is we just could go, up until Endgame.
We could say, you know, Multiverse Saga, we've seen them all at Loki. And then we've also possibly seen them all in Quantumania.
Well, plus What If? Don't forget right. What If. You saw this. Right. Anyway, okay. This is up until Avengers Endgame. So this is the easy one. This is the gimme. This is the one that you ran your test on, right? This is the one where you're like, let's make sure he understands the rules. It's easy. Tony, which two movies was the Soul Stone in? The Soul Stone, which you could only get where?
You could only get it in Vormir, and it was in Infinity War and Endgame.
That is correct. And that is the only time I wish you to say those movies through the next 5 cards, because my goodness, that would get old. Because guess what? They're in both those movies. So they're in every one of these cards.
So we will not mention that movie because I would do that out of my OCD. So
thank you.
We're good. Okay.
So the next one, wait a second. I got it. Good. The Reality Stone. Okay. Now the Reality Stone, power transforms matter, status gone, reduced atoms. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to say that sentence because every one of them says that. But the power to redo matter. Now, Tony, which movies did we see the Reality Stone? By the way, those are actually pictures of my cards. I took those pictures last night almost at midnight, for gosh sakes.
Okay, so this would have been, first appearance was Thor Dark World. I don't believe it was seen in any other movies until Infinity War and Endgame. Oh, no. Hold on.
Tony, no. I'm going
to
look.
They were in Dark World. They gave it to the collector. We did not see it. And we saw the representation in Guardians of the Galaxy, but we're not going to go there.
Exactly. And neither do they. And I should have.
But we know it was on. It was with the Tavon Group at that time.
So when you hear the clapping, Tony, it means you're right. Okay.
Okay. No, that works. So, and at that point, I can shut up. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, no, I don't mean it like that. I just mean, I had a boss once who said, you know, one of the things that a lot of attorneys need to learn is to when the judge like goes your way, stop arguing. So much in the same way, once you're actually there, I shouldn't have to let you know, continue on and suffer. Okay, so the next one, Tony, the next of our cards, is the Power Stone. I'm not going to read the crap on the back anymore. What movies did the Power Stone appear in?
The Power Stone appeared. That was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. That was the one that was received by Ronan the Accuser.
Yes, Tony. That is correct.
Okay. Remember, this makes me
Yeah, I was doing Rocket. couldn't resist. And the microphone's in the way, so I couldn't doing the anyway. Okay. So the next one, Tony, the next of our Infinity Stones. Do you want to guess which one it is? We got three. Okay, more.
So you did Soul, Reality, power. Is either Time.
Correct. Oh my gosh! Let's give them the bonus there, guys. The Time Stone. Guess what his power is. Manipulates time. Let's move on. Tony, what movies in the MCU did the Time Stone appear in?
Now, I have one question about this one.
Stop trying to debate it and be pedantic. Give me the names of the goddamn movies.
It has to be visually seen, right?
Better yet, I would say it has to physically be present in the movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's there you go. Let me just explain.
Did we rewind the show? What the hell happened there?
Let me explain this, because if you recall, it was in Doctor Strange, but then it also was in the Eye of Agamotto in Thor Ragnarok. So,
congratulations, Tony. You are correct. It is in Doctor Strange and it is in Thor Ragnarok. Look at that.
This is why I asked the questions.
This one's a bit dickish if you ask me, but it's true. So there you go. Yes, it was. Again, the clarification is, was it physically in the movie?
Okay.
See, this is a fun game, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, this is the game. My daughter, I didn't even look at the cards. I kept them sealed in the package, right? Because I didn't want to. But she opened hers, and then she's like, "Oh, hey, Dad, you know what movie? What movies was the Mind Stone in, for example?" Well, now you know what the last one is, so that's not going to ruin that part of the game. Mm-hmm. But the Loki's. Oh, well, never mind.
I was going to say it was Loki's.
I said two elements. This is also actually probably one of the easiest ones to call. Tony?
Okay, you said movies, so I won't mention the fact that we did see it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I'm going to say that. But we know that we saw it in Avengers.
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's debatable. I still believe it's part of the MCU. Yeah, so it was with Loki Scepter, so it was in Avengers. Mm-hmm. And it was also in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
And let me think real quick. The Mind Stone then appeared with Captain America Civil War, because it was on Vision's head. And I believe that is it, because Vision didn't show up again until Infinity War.
That is correct. And arguably, it's not really present in WandaVision. If you haven't seen it, it's been four years. What the hell is wrong with you? Tony.
Yes.
The biggest bitch of the bunch. All right. No other way to put it.
The Space Stone.
This is the one that has the most, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Power generates wormholes for travel to distant places. That is what they say the power of the Space Stone is. Okay. So what movies? I really wish I had like the, what is that one where you could phone a friend? Can't remember. Regis Philbin used to host it.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, I wish I had that something like those lines.
Okay. Oh,
good boy, thought you were prepared for the program, did you, Will?
Now okay. I'm gonna nerd out on this one, because I'm gonna say it and just hear me out, okay? People would think that it was not in Thor, because the Tesseract was fake. That was in the gauntlet was fake.
Only the gauntlet was fake.
Odin's
my
treasure room. It was seen in the end credit scene with Eric Selvig and Nick Fury at Project Pegasus.
I'm just going to give you an applause for calling that one out. That is correct.
And we know it was at Project Pegasus, which is where we ended up seeing it in Avengers. But that's not only where it was seen.
You know what? I'm going to mess you up right now.
Okay.
I'm going to mess you up. I want you to, because this one, I have a funny feeling. It is actually kind of easy. I'm not going
to
lie.
Do you want me to go chronological, or do you want me
to go chronological. If you get the bonus win, Tony, where you will get the largest no prize Netheads has to offer, give it to me. Chronologically, Daddy.
Okay, so then that would be it was in Tonsberg with Captain America, the First Avenger. then we would have seen it in, I'm going to throw it out there because you're saying chronological order. I have to say it. We saw it back in time with Endgame because it was at the Air Force Base. We then saw it in the 90s with Carol Danvers. We then saw it with Thor. I believe we also saw it with Thor Dark World because there wasn't, wasn't it Thor Dark World? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
I got one Thank sound.
You. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't in Dark World. So we know it was in Thor, Captain America. It was in the Avengers. It did not appear in Age of Ultron. The next time it would show up after those movies was then going to be Ragnarok.
Tony, I'm proud of you. You delivered. You rose to the challenge. You stood tall. I'm proud of you, man. And let's not also point out the fact that technically speaking, you could do this one of two ways. You could either do it as the Space Stone, or you could do it as the Tesseract. And if you limited it to just the Tesseract, that means technically it wouldn't have been in Avengers Endgame. Oh, no, it would have. Because like you said, when they went back to the 60s,
they had to get it.
Tony got it from there. By the way, you know what? God bless the goddamn internet, Tony. All right? I know it's an aggressive stance, but seriously, God bless the goddamn internet, because I saw a guy do a video, short-term video, folks, okay? It is the best thing for ADHD. Feeds that demon real good. Pointing out the fact that there's only one time that Tony suspends his severe dislike of people handing things to him. And who was it?
Oh, crap.
I'm going to give you
a hint. Oh, it was his dad.
Yes, with the can of sauerkraut. Yep. And as a dad, that hits hard, man. That hits hard. So that was I wouldn't have made that connection if it weren't the internet is so much goddamn smarter than I am, Tony.
Yeah, but
pissing me off.
See, it's those little things that make it awesome. Like, that's why this stuff is so amazing, because the effort that was put into things. I'll be honest. Marcus and McFeely were geniuses with the first three phases. I'm going to say it. Was it Michael Waldron was the one who did Multiverse of Madness? I watched that movie again last night. I actually appreciated it more because there are certain subtle things that they do in that film that if you're not paying attention, because there are parts of it that are awful, you're going to miss some really good stuff.
Yeah, that is very much true. That is very much true. But Marcus and McFeely also just had a field day calling back their own stuff from Captain America, the first Avenger, to Endgame with the, you know, hey, don't do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, how are you?
Oh, and Z just said it in the chat, the cheeseburger references that opened and ended it. And the fact that was a real world, had a real world symbolism for Robert Downey Jr. because it was him eating a Whopper. Which is funny because I love Whoppers, that turned his life around because he realized it could only get, this is the worst it can get. Yeah. And then of course we know that when Tony Stark makes his decision to not be a weapons manufacturer, he's eating a cheeseburger. And then of course, when Morgan's with Happy at the end, she wants a cheeseburger and he'll get her all the cheeseburgers she wants. And your dad likes cheeseburgers.
I just got to say, cause you know, Kevin Feige, as we've established, you replied to my message in 2019. No, it was Kevin Smith. That's a callback within the same episode. But you know, if you happen to be listening, bud, okay, it's okay to do a little bit of a time jump. Let the world just move on. We're ready for Morgan Stark. I think I know they got Ironheart coming out with Riri, and I don't want to take that away. But you can bring us Morgan Stark in some. Well, I guess she's too young. Let it ride.
The thing is, what would she be a villain? Because the Morgan Stark of the comics was a male, I think it was the cousin or uncle of Tony Stark, and it was a villain.
Oh, I did not know that. Never mind. Yeah. Let's leave that as it is. Tony, you mentioned that, you know, we've had some things in the movies we're not exactly thrilled with, we're not exactly happy about. Mm-hmm. There's been something that's been missing in this MCU heart of ours. And something came out this, well, don't bury the lead. You already talked about it. The Deadpool and Wolverine trailer came out, and I'm going to talk about it later, but I'm telling you what I saw made me know we're in good hands.
Oh, absolutely. Or
good claws, if you will. I think that this movie, I don't know how much input Feige had into it, but I think Sean Levy or Levy, however it is, Ryan Reynolds, I think that what we saw, it looks like some good stuff. And Tony, even though we're not going to be able to hear it, let's take a look at it right now, shall we? So first of all, we got Logan in a bar, which is great because it also connects with the Hulk reference. I love that Deadpool comes into frame saying, "Hi, Peanut," and then he's just like doing the rush. You know, he's like, "Hey," and I also love, "No thanks, lady." Come on. By the way, and this I was not expecting.
The claw block?
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I also love what is on the end of his gun. Smile and wait for the flash. Oh, my goodness. Also, if you guys didn't missed it there, the 20th Century Fox logo in the sand.
Yep. And, of course, this is the timeline where he saved everybody. He went back in time with what he had from Cable.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of good stuff. Even though I'm going to point this out now, guys, we got the TVA again. Marvel in their trailer lies. There's the 20th Century Fox logo. Now, that right there that you just saw, we're going to come back to that after this is over. Another great bit of dialogue and Deadpool's meta-ness saying, you know, are we going to get a third act flashback?
Okay, did you see the store sign on this one? Oh,
Liefeld's
one?
Feet? Only yeah, feet?
Only feet?
Because it's a good joke. Because, you know, he's not so hot on.
And, of course, at the beginning, when Deadpool comes to him in the bar, he calls him Peanut, which is a reference to Ant-Man.
Oh, I did not know that. One of the things, too, that I love, we just got a scene of them in a car together. And then I think later on when you see him coming out of the minivan, it's Wolverine getting him knocked out.
Oh, and this coming right here? Wait for it.
Those were TVA agents, weren't they? Right. See, yeah, there is. So, I'm talking about that scene.
Cassandra Nova.
Which, by the
there's
way.
There's Eliath.
Eliath.
And this is amazing.
That was savage.
So you get them and people keep saying it's the head of Ant-Man. No, it was the whole suit. It's like the whole corpse of Batman.
Oh, yeah. It's all rolled up.
And then the Eliath was right before it. And then you saw Red Skull's roadster.
Car all juiced up. They're jumping through a portal here. So I hope that means
they're jumping through a portal out of Scott's eye socket.
Yeah. I hope that's the incursion. I love this moment. Can't do cocaine? What about Bolivian marching
ballet? Feige drew the line. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, guys, we are in much in the same way that with let's effing go, guys.
Yep.
Let's effing go. Much in the same way that we're in good hands, or the reason why I know we're in good hands, in the same way that No Way Home got us juiced, and in the same way Endgame had excellent callbacks, in the first part of the scene, you know what I can do, Tony? I can control things. So I can actually speak to this instead of just, I can bring us right where I'm talking about instead of bantering on about it like some type of twit. When they are having their first fight scene, and you can find this on the internet. I've probably gone past it now. But the very first time they fight, when Deadpool is just dodging the attacks. Yeah, I'm not going to find it. When Deadpool is dodging the attacks, it is an exact mirror of Tobey Maguire just after getting his powers, avoiding the punches of Flash Thompson in the hallway in the original Spider-Man movie. Yep. We are in good goddamn hands this time. You know what I'm saying?
It was a great trailer. It was, it's funny. Self and Wallen Keys and I were talking and he said, you know, he wasn't excited until this trailer. And I completely agree. Like I was going to be excited regardless. I think everyone wanted to know kind of what the direction was. And it was an episode of Fandoms where you had talked about, you know, when Feige was describing Deadpool at CinemaCon, that he used the F word because Deadpool uses the F word. And so you could definitely tell I'm moving my computer. I'm sorry. That they're definitely giving the respect that Ryan Reynolds wants for this thing. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think Ryan Reynolds would have been on board for this movie, knowing what Fox did to him with X-Men Origins Wolverine, after he fought so hard to get this franchise going in the first place, you know, with the leak from the first movie or for the first, you know, for the first screen test, and then doing the last two movies. I don't think he would have signed on if they wouldn't have let him do what he wanted to do.
I completely agree. I really think that it is just, I think they recognized more than like, I mean, what I'm hoping is they recognize the opportunity that they have with this movie to reset quite a few things. And I'm hoping they take the opportunity to do it, even though if they don't, it's literally the movie I never knew I needed, Tony. It really is. And, you know, I think that it would have been a damn shame if we didn't get another Deadpool movie. And I think it's very important that we now finally get Deadpool in the MCU proper. Because we're seeing the full potential that's there. And also, call back to that Ant-Man costume rolled up with the skull. I'm telling you right now, that scene, that has more people in it, because there are some gaps in that shot where I'm like, there should be something here.
There's characters from X2. There are, who else was it? There was her. There was a character from X-Men United or X-Men Last Stand. There was a lot of characters, and I think it was Caliban they also thought was on there. The character in front that's like full, like really like heavily clothed. They're definitely going to be pulling references from a lot of the different from franchises, and I'm excited to see what they do. Yeah, I think we even had what was it? Not Torch, Fire. No, what was it?
Firestorm.
Yeah, was it in it?
No,
Firestorm.
That's the girl.
No, that's for yeah. Whatever the dude's name was from the original X-Men movies.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, it feels good. It feels like we might be finally coming home, and I'm looking forward to it. So, let me tell you something. If this movie disappoints, it's going to be the death toll ringing for the MCU at that point. But man, I was interested to see what they do with it, but now I'm absolutely drooling for it. Well, you know, we're finally at the point again where I'm like, you know what? No matter what happens, I got this to look forward to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I think this is going to be the thing that kind of helps pull a lot of stuff in. People have been complaining like, oh, it's too much multiverse stuff. No, it's the whole purpose of this entire saga. Like, you're going to get over it. Especially when it all ties in. And I think this movie is going to help that happen.
You know, what's funny is that the multiverse saga hat that I have expressly says that it's, although I don't understand, I don't know if it's supposed to be a gradient or I'm missing the message there, but you see how it's got teal letters and then it's got like the purple letters and it's phase 4, 5, and 6. So the multiverse saga is supposed to end with phase 6, but is there anything about PH6 that I'm not aware of? I don't know. Anyway, so you know, we're getting did phase 5 officially kick off? I can't even remember the movies that are supposed to, the entertainment bits that are supposed to be each phase. I know at one point we were told which ones were the bookends, but now I can't remember.
Oh, you mean like what's the end of the Okay, so for phase 4, the end of phase 4 was Wakanda Forever, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And WandaVision, as he liked to remind us at the time.
And then from there, we went into Quantumania. I think we're approaching either with Deadpool or I think possibly Brave New World or Brave and Bold, whatever it's called now.
Oh, what? No Way Home closed something out, didn't it? No, never mind. Because that was after, that was before.
Yeah.
Wakanda Forever.
Right. Wait.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter, Tony. We don't have to dwell on it because we're entering the season.
Too much.
We're just a couple months away from San Diego Comic-Con, and if they make an appearance there, they'll drop some stuff, and then we'll have D23 and we'll get even more news.
Yeah, D23 is going to be definitely where they release a lot of stuff. So if you're thinking about going to a convention, D23 would be the one to go to.
You know what's crazy is that if I'm not mistaken, is Deadpool like dropping right at the tail end of San Diego Comic-Con? That's my question because I'll tell you what the dates of Comic-Con are because I happen to have a schedule right in front of me here. And it looks like it may be, oh my God, it is that week. Tony, it's that week. San Diego Comic-Con happens the same week that Deadpool and Wolverine drops. Marvel's not going to be there. They're not going to need to. All the advertising is going to be all the goddamn buzz of everyone talking around the convention floors. They don't need to. They're going to like, San Diego Comic-Con, come to D23, bitches. That's where we're putting on a show.
Exactly. Like they're not going to want to. If they're doing what I think they're doing, they're testing the water on the direction they want to go to for the rest of this phase. I would willing to see, they'll probably do some advertisements for Deadpool Wolverine. We're going to get no new information until after the movies hit and they get critic responses. And they're gonna be like, okay, this is what we're doing moving forward.
I did not realize that. Yeah. They're not going to do jack shit at San Diego Comic-Con, but let me ask you, I'm going to ask you and then we'll wrap up, but do you think it was a mistake laying out the timeline as much as they did for us for what they had planned? Cause I, you know, in retrospect, obviously yes, but I really firmly believe that they should have done what they had done in the past. Just give us some teases about the things that are coming up. You don't need to talk about all this grandiose crap that's coming up. Fantastic Four is closing out one of the phases, by the way. So if I think Phase 5 closes out with Fantastic Four,
okay.
That just hit me.
That makes sense. So, okay. So your question, did they do something wrong by pushing too much out? I believe so. Okay. Cause here's my thing. I remember back when, before Captain America Civil War was Captain America Civil War, it was Serpent Society. They also were teasing the Inhumans as a full motion picture. We know they went a different route with that. People were disappointed in these things and them changing the directions that they were going. And of course, we know Inhumans got moved to a television show because they were acquiring Fox. They didn't have to worry about having an alternate to mutants anymore. And so they kind of went that route, which I think is unfair because there's a lot of cool stuff that they could have done with the Inhumans other than just right out kill off Black Bolt in Multiverse of Madness.
But still that was a cool callback to in itself.
Yeah. Well, they've done Black Bolt wrong twice. First for putting him in a TV show. That was really poorly done. And then the second was like taking him out. Like, and I'm gonna tell you right now, Reed Richards was the stupid one because you don't say to a witch who has the ability to alter reality, oh, with one word from his mouth, he can destroy you. Like, that was simple. That's like Matrix powered stuff. But anyway, yes, I do personally believe that they shouldn't have waited things out. They should have teased people being the characters. That would have been fine, saying that there was stuff coming forward with Blade or whatever else. But when you lay things out, and you're testing new things, it's better to give yourself the wiggle room. But then at the same time, they were going too hot, too fast. They were going quantity over quality. And so it's kind of like a mixture of problems for them.
And in a way, they really should have just kind of done the same thing that Marvel Television had done before, which is, you know, it's like MCU adjacent kind of stuff. That would have made life a little bit easier. You know, Tony, I think it's time for us to wrap things up, but I just want to close out on one of the comments of one of our wonderful live viewers, ZB in the chat. Marvel, if you're doing Hall H, he's put this one out on the internet for free. It's Marvel Hall H, but they're promoting stuff from years ago. Yeah, go ahead, go back to 2019. Deadpool shows up, shoots the presenter, and it goes from there. So he literally comes in and resets it. Yeah. Actually, you know, that's the thing too, that it's going to go one of two ways. I don't know if Marvel is going to be there or not, but I guarantee you, since it's release week, as long as the box office is good, there will probably be at a minimum, at least some type of social media promotional thing that happens in relation to it. Kind of like Bryan Cranston walking around the floor wearing a Heisenberg mask during Breaking Bad's heyday. Or remember Andrew Garfield revealing
wearing Spider-Man costume. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get something like that. But there you go, Marvel. A really good gimmick to help you reset everything. And some guy on the internet wrote it for you for free. Tony, I had an amazing time tonight. I want to thank you very much for joining in on my particular form of madness. If you guys want to find out more about Tony, you can find him on all social media places, mm-hmm. or even at .com at Mr. Marvelite. That's who he is. He's Tony, but that's how you can find him. So be sure to check him out. Don't forget Magic Mind. So dope. Don't forget Good Stuff for Your Brain. Give you that kick. If you can't do coffee, you might love Magic Mind too. It's magicmind.co/netheads20 to get a 20% off your first purchase, or 56% on a subscription.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out that. Patreon subscribers, don't forget tomorrow, Fourth Friday. So come hang with me if you can. If not, I'll just be recording a live show for nobody for fun. But you know what? Keep that in mind. And until next time, Tony, please. Live long and prosper.
And may the force be with you.
You're goddamn right.
Netheads. Netheads. We'll be back soon.
Goodbye.
This has been a Smodco Internet production. Sip only at smodcast.com. This felt like so much. It felt like the old days of Play TV. It felt like the early days of Netheads. You're probably not familiar with it, Tony, but one of the things that I frequently miss that I used to love doing was, and I got to cut to you for this, we did a game because the show's always been mm-hmm. live, all right? We were live on Smodco Internet Radio, and then we made the transition to YouTube. Always been live. But early on, I had the most fun. And the name of the game is Win, Will, Sack. Okay?
What?
It was back in the heyday of ThinkGeek, and I would pick three random items off of ThinkGeek. And somebody had the opportunity to call in, play along live, they could guess those three items. If they successfully guessed the three items in my shopping cart, then they would win that, or, you know, the cash
equivalent value.
It was. And doing that little wonderful quiz with you just was so reminiscent of that. So, I mean, it's not a funny stinger, guys.
No, but let's do more of it. And you've inspired me for fandoms.
Yeah, man. It's a good time. It's a good time. So thanks, everybody. Sorry, it's not a funny one, but you know, sometimes instead of laughing, you just, you want to, you know, thank everybody.